Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 52 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kenzie Thompson.
And I'm Joe Lewis.
So I think that's really hard for them to narrow suspects down.
A University of Kentucky student is facing charges after making school threats on Snapchat.
A Lexington man is in custody after allegedly kidnapping and raping a woman needing help with her car.
The Round County Board of Education is making plans for the Zane Collins Community Park.
Governor Matt Bevin signed an executive order this morning.
The Better Business Bureau is warning people about potential holiday scams.
In sports, the Moorhead State football team suffered a big loss in its last game of the season.
Bud Luke has the stop report.
Tonight, overcast with rain showers and a low of 36 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
On November 7th, UK student Haley Duvall reported threats she saw on Snapchat involving the University of Kentucky campus to WKYT. According to officials, court documents revealed FBI and UK police were able to file emergency disclosure requests to get the IP address used to create the snaps. The information led investigators to a Spectrum account registered to Duvall. In the interview before her arrest, Duvall said she didn't believe there was any way for authorities to trace the threats back to the person responsible.
There's no location, there's no last name, there's no, you know, there's no identifying features, so I think that it's really hard for them to narrow suspects down. Campus full of like 30,000 just undergrad students.
Duvall is being held at the Woodford County Detention Center. Duvall will appear in federal court on Tuesday for her preliminary hearing, facing three federal charges connected to threatening communications, making false statements, and hoaxes.
Lexington police arrested a man accused of kidnapping and raping a woman who was having car troubles. WMKY's Chanice D. Davis has the story.
Lexington police say that 45-year-old Franklin Scott Faulkner is expected to be arraigned Monday afternoon on charges of first-degree rape, kidnapping, and intimidating a participant in a legal process, among other minor charges. According to LEX18, on Sunday, Faulkner offered a ride to a woman whose car was broken down on Leestown Road. He allegedly sexually assaulted her when she entered his vehicle. The victim was able to escape back to her car, where an unnamed Fayette County Animal Control officer found her. He stayed with her until police arrived. Faulkner has been taken into custody. Faulkner is currently being held at the Fayette County Detention Center. For WMKY News, I'm Chanice D. Davis.
Lexington police are investigating after a victim reports their car was stolen Sunday morning. According to WKYT, officers say a man walked into a corner store at Pemberton and East 5th that morning. The suspect pulled a gun on the man and demanded keys to his vehicle. The victim gave up the keys and the suspect took off in their car. Witnesses and the victim tell police the perpetrator fired shots as he drove away, coinciding with several reports of shots fired in the area. Officers were not able to make an arrest and the suspect is at large. He is described as an African-American male in his late teens to early 20s with a medium build and fluffy beard. He was wearing a green coat with fur around the hood.
A federal grand jury has indicted a Kentucky man on hate crime charges. Gregory Bush is accused of killing two people at the Kroger grocery in Jeffersontown last month. Officials believe the crime was racially motivated. U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman announced the charges on Thursday.
Shooting and killing two victims based upon their race or color. One count of attempting to shoot a victim based upon his race or color. Three firearms counts, gun counts, if you will.
Bush has pleaded not guilty to state charges and is in jail on $5 million bond. Prosecutors have not decided if they will seek the death penalty in the case.
An Eastern Kentucky woman is in jail after authorities say she took naked pictures of her 4-year-old daughter before sending them to her boyfriend. The Lexington Herald later reports 29-year-old Christina Brooke Mitchell and her boyfriend of 2 years, Jonathan Edward Manigault, are charged in the case. Detectives received a tip about one of Mitchell's daughters, age 4, posing sexually in a photo on Mitchell's phone. Police learned there were multiple photos in a Facebook Messenger chat and text messages where Manigault described what he wanted to do to Mitchell's children. Manigault also stated he touched one of the girls while she was not at home. Mitchell pleaded not guilty in January on charges of producing and distributing child pornography. Manigault is charged with producing and receiving child pornography. Both could face at least 15 years in prison.
Retired Danville Police Chief James Woody Ball was arrested on the premise of possessing child pornography. Authorities say they'd stopped by his residence multiple times before eventually catching up to him at a traffic stop. Boyle County Sheriff Derek Robbins had this to say.
Kind of disturbing that, you know, he had dedicated his first part of his life to, you know, serving Danville and Boyle County as a firefighter and, you know, eventually the fire chief. And, you know, I think he was trusted by the public to help. And now he is ultimately a predator.
Ball denied to give his side of the circumstance from jail.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Governor Matt Bevin signed an executive order today prohibiting state contracts with companies that participate in boycott, divestment, and sanction practices against Israel. The executive order prohibits Kentucky executive branch agencies from entering into contracts governed by KRS Chapter 45A with entities that engage in discriminatory practices restricting free trade or foster restrictive trade practices against Israel. Bevin referred to Israel as an important friend and trading partner to the Commonwealth. He also condemned entities that have engaged in boycotts against Israel. Kentucky joins 25 other states that have enacted laws or executive orders to prohibit the use of state resources from being used to support boycott practices against the Middle Eastern nation.
Is the pension crisis enough to keep voters motivated, or will other issues take center stage in next year's governor's race? WUKY's Josh James reports.
With pension changes drawing large vocal crowds to Frankfort this year, it's not surprising Democrats see a winning issue that could mobilize voters. But despite promises by protesters to remember in November, Democrats won only two seats in the state's 100-member House and ceded one seat in the Senate in the midterm elections. UK political scientist Stephen Voss says it's too early to tell whether the strategy of appealing to teachers and state workers will pay dividends in an off-year governor's race.
We don't have any way to trace how many votes were motivated by the pension battle or the like. But much more likely, this election was focused on the social and cultural issues for voters that tend to push them Republican.
So far, Democratic House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins has chosen Jefferson County School Board member Stephanie Horn as his running mate. Attorney General Andy Beshear is running with Jacqueline Coleman, an assistant principal at Nelson County High School. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A waterline break has temporarily closed both I-64 rest areas in Round County at mile marker 141 just east of Moorhead until further notice. Repairs are underway by the Kentucky Department of Highways. However, the rest areas will most likely remain closed through the Thanksgiving holiday and this weekend. Crews have barricaded the rest area ramps and are placing message boards at nearby exits and key locations in advance of the rest areas to warn the traveling public and truckers who need commercial truck parking. Motorists should plan to travel accordingly. The nearest open I-64 rest area includes the eastbound Grayson rest area and westbound Kentucky Welcome Center at mile markers 174 near Grayson and the eastbound Clark County rest area near Winchester at mile marker 98.
The Rowan County Board of Education made a decision on what to do with the Zane Collins Community Park on Monday. During a special meeting, the board declared the 18-acre community park, located across from Walmart, as surplus property. According to Superintendent John Maxey, the declaration is a required action in order to possibly sell the property.
Anytime we've got any kind of property that we want to sell, the only way we can sell it is to first declare it surplus. And we've had several different people inquire about possibly purchasing that piece of property. And so we wanted to declare it surplus, and that way if someone was interested in it, they could contact us and we could possibly discuss selling that park.
Maxey says any proceeds the board receives from selling the park would be reinvested into community recreation.
The Round County Board of Education has accepted a bid for the company in charge of construction management for the multi-purpose facility project. During a special meeting on Monday, the board decided to hire Pax & Walker Company to manage the renovation of the former Maysville Community and Technical College Round Campus building. The board chose to hire a construction manager over a general contractor, as Round County Superintendent John Maxey explains.
They can have just a general contractor to do it, or they can get construction management to do it. And so we've elected to go with a construction manager so that we've got somebody overseeing the project and making sure that it's on schedule and that the bidding is done correctly and that we get the best vendors in there. And usually when we hire construction management, they're a little bit better about getting local vendors to do the work.
The renovated building will house the school board's central office, the Round County Preschool Center, an alternative school, and space for an ROTC drill room. The renovation is estimated to take about 9 months and is expected to begin in the summer after the school year has ended.
The Martin County Water Board held a monthly meeting in Inez. WSAZ reports residents arrived to voice their complaints. Martin County has had water problems for years, and in recent months, resident bills have shot up 44%. Some residents have blamed corruption for the issues. The Public Service Commission recently released a similar statement during their investigation of the district. The commission advised the district to seek professional management companies to run their operations. Several residents were fed up with the issues.
When you're greedy with water, the Royal will run dry. Your all's problem is the water's running dry, and so is your all's bank account.
My water bill has almost doubled this year, and that's crazy because we have had more water outages this year than ever.
Water Board Treasurer Jimmy Kerr said they have not found outside management and said there is no mismanagement.
Officials in Madison County are cracking down on people who illegally pass school buses. This is in response to the string of injuries and deaths at bus stops across the country. Police are actively working with Madison County school officials to catch people who are illegally passing the buses. But bus driver Dana Clark says that although catching people in the act will help the problem, the real issue is preventing it from happening to begin with.
You can count on it twice, three times a week anyway, somewheres along the way.
The police are there, but so many times that they can't find it or don't do it.
She says students who sit in the back and front of the bus are trained to document vehicles who illegally pass, saying they will write down the license plate number of the vehicle if they do.
Thousands of Lexington families won't have to worry about buying a Thanksgiving turkey this year thanks to a faith-based charitable organization. WMKY's Naya Endueza has the story.
God's Pantry Food Bank has been giving away turkey dinners in Lexington for 25 years to families in need during the holiday season. Now, it is working to expand its reach to help families in other Kentucky counties to ensure that more families can have a Thanksgiving dinner. According to WKYT, the organization will be handing out more than 4,000 turkey dinners to families in Laurel, Floyd, and Rowan counties. The meals feed a family of eight. God's Pantry Food Bank plans to serve more than 5,200 families this Thanksgiving. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
The holiday season is upon us, and the Better Business Bureau, serving Central and Eastern Kentucky, is offering tips to help customers avoid scams. BBB urges customers to learn about advertising tricks and gimmicks. Pay close attention to phrases like beat competitors' prices, up to a certain percentage off, or free with purchase that require careful examination of terms and conditions. They also warn against asterisks next to words or phrases indicating there are conditions to the offer. Read the fine print. Some stores only honor sale ads during a certain time frame or on certain days. Some stores may only allow you to purchase one item, particularly large, popular, and/or deeply discounted products. And always ask for gift receipts and save warranty information. Keep in mind that retailers are permitted to set their own return exchange policies.
And now here's a look at weather for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, clouds remain with a low of 36 degrees, small chance of rain at 20%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 52. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 32 degrees. Wednesday, sunny with a couple of clouds, high of 49. And Wednesday night, a few clouds with a low of 26 degrees. Thursday, mainly sunny skies with a high of 33. Thursday night, clear with a low of 24 degrees. Looking at temperatures around the region, in Moorhead, it's 52. In Flemingsburg, it's 49. In Maysville, it's 49. Ashland is 54 degrees. It's 53 degrees in Grayson. Inez is at 56 degrees. It's 50 degrees in Mount Sterling. And in Lexington, it's currently 49 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaf discusses a great American tradition needs a second look. And we're not talking about baseball.
The simplicity of blaming presidents for how things are going or have gone is that it's easier to focus on just one person when placing blame, easier than blaming 535. The 535, give or take, are those pillars of strength, maturity, and fairness known as Congress. Members of the House and Senate on occasion get pilloried for bad actions, but for the most part, the bodies themselves, excuse the pun, stay off the chopping block. People, even people in Congress, like to blame Washington and the swamp and, of course, the president, whomever it might be, for the dysfunction that has so long been the M.O. in D.C. Let's take a look at that and see if it bears scrutiny. Who is to blame for the rampant spending that is hurtling this nation toward a bottomless pit of debt-related hardship and collapse? Congress. Who is to blame for constant juvenile bickering and teenaged theater during hearings constitutionally mandated to provide advice and consent? Congress. Who approved of the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War, and who approves of continuing the longest war we have ever waged? Congress. Who continues to pretend that they are outraged by sexual exploits, even the behavior of high school children, while using millions of tax dollars to pay off their own staff to stay quiet about sexual misdeeds in, you guessed it, Congress. Oh, yeah, Congress. Who can look right at the admitted sexual touching incidents of some of their own members and, depending on their party affiliation, look the other way? Hint, Congress and Cory Booker. Who can pretend that certain out-of-favor members' sexual exploits are not the acceptable kind, and who can adopt a position of righteous outrage on certain days of the year, depending on who is being charged? Congress. Who stands idly by while the federal government's permanent corps of functionaries, bureaucrats, and regulators, empowered by Congress, interfere with individual rights, states' rights, and border control? That's right, Congress. Who passed the ridiculously named Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and then excused itself from having to live with it? Congress. Who behaves like a pack of middle school bullies who are freaked out by the placement of an aisle between rows of seats in their respective chambers? Congress. Whose members continue to selectively support local and state violations of federal law, such as immigration, while at the same time calling for reform of those very same Congress-made laws? You know. Who allows itself and the nation to be distracted by petty nonsense while Rome burns around them with the insane budget, unstoppable pollution, rampant waste, graft, corruption, while underserved veterans and other vulnerable groups suffer unspeakable neglect? Congress, Congress, and Congress. So when you hear any congressperson utter words of condemnation, hand them a stone and tell them to start casting. Hell, you crazy. I'm John Modak.
Dr. John Modaf is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It is 4:48 and 50 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kenzie Thompson, here with Joe Lewis. We are coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us this dreary Monday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
The Eagles finished at 3-8. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Dilton Johnson. The Morehead State football team was unable to pull out the win during their season finale this week. The Eagles fell to Drake at home Saturday 43-6. Head coach Rob Tenure says that there were too many missed opportunities.
You know, we didn't execute. We had some third down opportunities. I felt like, you know, we had some penalties that may not gotten called or went our way. That's part of the game. I get it. But we had some chances there. We didn't take advantage of it. And so that's kind of, it's been the story of the year. And just the inconsistencies. And, on a day we were 7-19 on third downs. you're not going to win that way.
Morehead State finishes the season at 2-6 in the Pioneer League. And Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor turned in the best performance of his career in a week that saw four of the season's top nine rushing totals. Taylor carried 33 times for 321 yards in an overtime win over Purdue, increasing his nation-leading total to 1,869 yards. Johnson Central and Ashland met with matching 11-1 records on the season Friday night, but the Eagles were able to take out the Tomcats 52-14 in Paintsville. The game was the quarterfinal round of the 4A KHSAA Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl Championship. Eagles head coach Jim Matneys was relaxed going into the home game.
Well, at this point, we've had a very successful season, had some big wins, and our kids have played very well. We fought injuries all season long, and we're just now starting to get healthy. Ashland has a nice team. They always have a good team. They're well coached, and they've got good players.
Johnson Central will host Knox Central this Friday in the semifinal round of the state 4A championship. Game time is set for 7:30 p.m. The 5-5 Cincinnati Bengals lost to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, falling 24-21 in Maryland. The Bengals tied the matchup in the third quarter at 21-all, with QB Andy Dalton throwing two touchdown passes, one short 4-yard stinger to Matt Lingle, and then a 22-yard lob to John Ross. All in all, Dalton finished with 19 of 36 passes with 211 yards and two touchdowns. However, the Bengals defense couldn't stop a 13-play drive that ended in a 24-yard field goal by Justin Tucker in the fourth to finish the game 24-21. Bengals DN Sam Hubbard says that though play was good, Cincinnati wasn't used to the Ravens' offensive style.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we got great leaders. We got guys that'll make plays in big situation, and we just got to put it all together and finally find, you know, our way. And you know, we played hard. We were running to the ball. Everyone was playing physical, and you know, sometimes that's just how the game goes. And credit to them and their players. You know, they're doing the zone read stuff like a college offense. And they're very effective. They had the 1-2 punch him, the running back, and we stopped it a bunch. But, you know, sometimes we weren't doing our job or taking care of our gaps, and they broke big runs in crucial moments. So we just got to get back to work and be fundamentally sound.
The Bengals will take on the Browns in Week 12 action. And New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold is sitting out of the team's first practice after its bye week break while he continues to recover from a foot strain. The rookie wore a green Jets cap and sweats as practice began today, and he mostly washed from the side while Josh McCown and Davis Webb threw passes in individual drills. He is no longer wearing a boot on his right foot. Darnold was injured during the Jets' 13-6 loss at Miami on November 4th. McCown started in his place the following week, which was a 41-10 defeat at home to Buffalo. Morehead State's junior guard Jordan Walker hit all 12 of his free throws and scored a season-high 25 points, but it wasn't enough to offset a hot night shooting from Green Bay. The Eagles fell 87-70 Saturday in the 2K Cheney sub-regional title matchup. Head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys did great, but it was hard to overcome the Green Bay Phoenixes once they got on a roll.
They really tested our discipline tonight with their motion, and you know, they did exactly what we thought they were going to do, and really hard pressure defensively. We got a little bit stagnant offensively. The biggest part was, as you said, they made shots. We were taking the ball out of the net. We could not get consistent enough stops to where we could get out in transition and get a flow offensively and get our guys in spots where they could do things.
After a four-game road stand, the Eagles will return home Sunday to host Lipscomb at 2:05. And lastly in sports, there was movement this week in the AP college basketball world. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has more.
Two of college basketball's blue bloods remain firmly entrenched atop the AP Top 25 after a week of easy wins, while two more tumbled all the way out after a week filled with defeats. One of them happens to be the reigning national champion. While top-ranked Duke and number 2 Kansas did little to hurt their status as early national title contenders, Villanova and Syracuse slid all the way out of the top 25 today. The Wildcats lost a rematch of last year's championship game with Michigan, then lost in overtime to Furman on Saturday to give Coach Jay Wright's team back-to-back losses for the first time in 5 years. The Wildcats had risen to number 8 last week, then are off to a 2-2 start for the first time since 1997. They are also the first national champion to start at 2-2 since UCLA in 1995. The only major movement in top 10 involved Villanova dropping out and 5-0 Michigan climbing from number 18 to 9th, as well as 3-0 Nevada, who remained 6th, and 4-0 North Carolina at 7th. Auburn moved up one spot, and 3-1 Kentucky rounded out the first 10. For WMKY Sports, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
That is going to do it for sports for today. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Lipscomb this Sunday afternoon at 2:05 and Northern Kentucky on Tuesday, November 27th at 7:35 p.m. Women's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian at 6:05 p.m. on Monday, November 26th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks dropped sharply as the biggest and most popular technology stocks plunged, with Facebook and Apple leading the losses. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 395.78 at 25,017.44. The S&P 500 was down 45.54 at 2690.73. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 219.4. finishing at 7,028.48, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 3% on the day. The popular FANG trade, made up of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet, is now in bear market territory, with each member down more than 20% from their one-year highs. Apple led tech shares lower after the Wall Street Journal reported the company has cut production orders for the new iPhones unveiled earlier this year. The company's stock fell nearly 4% today and is now in bear market territory, down just over 20% from its 52-week high. Facebook shares dropped 5.7% as the company was hit with more negative publicity regarding the fallout from its handling of the 2016 election and foreign influence on its platform. Tech shares also were under pressure from a Financial Times report that Chinese authorities have alleged massive evidence of antitrust violations by Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron Technology. Micron shares were down almost 7%, while Advanced Micro dropped 7.5%. Also in the tech industry today, Netflix and Alphabet were weak as well, with Netflix down 5.5% and Google parent Alphabet dropping almost 4%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.25% at $57.17 a barrel, while gold was up 1.125% at $1,224.60 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were down today, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a loss of 0.75%. In Asia, stocks were strong, with the Nikkei up 0.625% and the Shanghai Composite up almost 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and Travelers, while the worst performers were Boeing and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Hillmark and Payne and Molson Coors, while the worst performers were NVIDIA and Align Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 42 cents at $45.63, Marathon Petroleum down 204 at $63.40, Dollar General down 93 cents at $110.49, Humana down 9.25 at $310.48, AK Steel down 10 cents at $365, and CSX was down 53 cents to finish at $72.08. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Moorhead and Mount Sterling. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
Tonight, clouds remain with a low of 36 degrees, a small chance of rain at 20%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with a high of 52. And tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 32 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Brian Courtney, Wyatt Melton, Haley Stidham, Logan Pemberton, Nyan Dweza, Chanasi Davis, Cody Robinson, Leanne Akers, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Paul Miles, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Her feature story today came from Morehead State University's Dr. John Modak. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joe Lewis and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Kenzie Thompson. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.